The Fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Ten on the frozen floor tonight, the National Hockey League, as we jump right into it with the Toronto Maple Leafs up against the New York Islanders, Ottawa, Philadelphia, Edmonton at home to Columbus, the Universe, and Vancouver up against Florida. It is jam-packed around Sportsnet. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean here in Hockey Central. You don't like the frozen floor?
Ten on the frozen floor. Did they teach you that in broadcasting school?
No, I came up with that one a few years ago when I was doing Sportsnet.
Okay, it's lame, bud.
I like it.
It's lame.
It's a frozen floor.
I like the haircut.
Yeah, team haircuts today, Kippy and I.
Oh, you got one too? So you're doing the free haircut?
I can't even tell.
You've got a bit of a poofed up look today. Did he blow dry it?
And
little blow dry, little gel.
Merrick's in there right now. Humberto comes in.
Now, is he not allowed to do your hair because he'll mess with the tint?
Yeah, Tony's the only guy that, or Ralphie's the only guy that does my hair down.
You don't even know your own guy's name.
Well, it's Tony's barber shop, but it's Ralphie's his name.
Oh,
plus, he's got pizzas named after.
Plus, he's opening a new restaurant next door, so I want to.
And is there the Kipper pizza?
There's a Kipper and a McLean pizza on the menu.
I want to get to what's happening in Buffalo in just a moment because Doug McLean is very happy with some transactions.
No, the Hunters are very happy.
But David Clarkson on his struggles. I wasn't brought in to score 50 goals. The Leafs against the New York Islanders tonight on Sportsnet Ontario pregame show 6:30.
50 We're goals? No. We'd like to see one, and then we'd go from there.
This is a mismatch when you look at goaltending because of Nabokov and his injury. He wasn't very good anyway. And now Kevin Poulin has to carry it. And on the flip side, Jonathan Bernier will start tonight, but it doesn't really matter because Bernier and Reimer are pretty much equal when it comes to their numbers. And a big separation where Toronto's near the top in goals against average and the New York Islanders in the bottom five.
Yeah.
The New York Islanders have to make a decision to go out and either sign Jose Theodore or make a trade without Nabokov for a month.
Yeah, they've got to make a move. And, you know, Garceau being an ex-goaltender, you would have thought it would have even happened prior to Nabokov being hurt because he hasn't been very good. And we also have a chance to talk to David Poile about the Nashville goaltending issue. So there's some issues around the league with because of injuries mainly. So interesting. But the Islanders, if they don't get goaltending help, they're not going to make the playoffs. And that would be a disappointment. This team, a lot of people predicted they'd be right in the mix. And they still are at this point because of the Metropolitan Division.
They're a point out of a playoff spot.
You were fine until you said the Metropolitan Division, and then you went over your 20 seconds.
Well,
we're not allowed to talk past 20 seconds.
You guys don't know that. You've heard
rumblings from the consultant.
Yeah. And then you've blown it all out of proportion.
Well, I listened to John Gruden last night, and everything we get is about football comparable, so he talks over 20 seconds.
He does.
Yeah.
But he's the only guy in the booth, right?
Some days I'm the only guy here with anything sensible to say.
And he's not doing a halftime show. he's calling the game.
Islanders can't go the Theodore path.
Why?
Because
he's no better than Poulin.
It's not an upgrade.
It's not an upgrade on Poulin and Nielsen?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, not at this point. I think if you're going to make a move, and if you're going to follow up the Molson... If you're going to follow up that trade,
Molson Bannock.
Bannock, and you threw in a first rounder as well. Are you not in it to make the playoffs?
But you're talking about them getting Miller?
I'm talking about an upgrade.
Teddy Nolan doesn't want Miller to be traded because he wants the job next year and he wants to win as many games as he can win. And obviously, they're not going to make a move there.
And you don't want to devalue the first rounder that you got from them.
And you don't, yeah, exactly. And you don't want to, you're not going to make a trade till you find a GM in Buffalo.
So what
Vishnovsky's out of the lineup. Without looking, who's their best defenseman, the New York Islanders?
Aaron McDonald.
Andrew McDonald.
McDonald. He's a Maritimer, too, and I had his first name wrong.
See,
but
honestly,
let me tell you something. 27 minutes a game he's playing. He's like third in the league in ice time with young McDonald. Played for the Moncton Wildcats. I mean, really.
Hamonic does a great job for
that. Hamonic's
too.
A great
Hamonic
young,
and McDonald are their best defensemen.
Two good young defensemen. Okay.
But, come on.
No, I know.
You're going to make the playoffs with two good young defensemen?
No. They're not going to make it.
They're not going to make it.
Unless they make some changes.
And there's a ton of pressure for Tavares to be the best player on the ice every night.
Well, and for the most part, he is. But he's, you know what? The Molson trade has not helped him.
Why not?
Well, because they were a great combination together. Molson's gone to Buffalo and has been pretty solid. And Vanek, I know he's got the nagging injuries and had some problems, but
there was,
it hasn't worked as great as they'd hoped. Now, you know, Vanek gets healthy, gets back. We'll see where it goes. What's Vanek's situation? Is it just nagging injuries or?
Yeah, he's been in and out.
Yeah, I know. But is it chronic? I mean, seriously. They brought him in to make the playoffs.
Well, I don't think you can control injuries.
No.
There's also a buzz this morning.
Buffalo for the last six years.
There's a buzz this morning that Grabner would be a healthy scratch.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Right? Two goals.
Yeah.
Two goals.
He's good in the Austrian league, though. I saw him over there last
year. So what's the issue, though? Is it a front, defense, or goaltending?
Everything.
This team that's two games below 500 right now.
All three. They're inconsistent up front. They're inexperienced and not very good on the blue line, and their goaltending has been subpar. Yeah.
So what an opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it is a great opportunity.
Who will be missing, obviously, the centers again tonight.
Yeah.
The last game for the suspension to Nazem Kadri, and sounds like Tyler Bozak's going to be hopefully ready.
Both could be back for the 21st. Isn't it the 21st they're talking
21st
about?
He comes off the IR.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity, but the Islanders...
They're looking for a centerman and a D as well, the Leafs.
The Islanders have given them some trouble when they've come into Toronto in the past, though. You know, they've given them some trouble. And Toronto, these are games that Toronto have got to win. I mean, obviously, the same conference, and it's
Islanders, critical. They like coming here. Those kids like coming here.
How good's Tavares been when he's been here?
Let me ask
Tavares
you.
Tavares is... It's a typical, you know, Southern Ontario guy coming in. They like the spotlight. They'll like the stage. They'll compete tonight.
Why is Toronto won't want a centerman when Kadri and Bozak are going to return to the lineup very soon? And Boland's probably got a month to go.
I think they're still looking for a guy that they can say is a legitimate number one centerman. I think this goes back to that they're not convinced that to go deep into a playoff, that it's a Bozak Kadri.
Can you give me one
so
name?
Why did they pay Bozak the money?
Can you give me one name of a number one, a legitimate number one centerman? When you say a number one centerman, that's better than Bozak and Kadri.
Yeah.
Give me one name of a guy that might be available.
Braden Schenn.
He's not better. He's got a reputation of being better, but he sure as hell hasn't done anything to deserve it.
I'm telling you, though, that
I guarantee he's available.
He's available.
Sure he is.
Right?
But is he better than Bozak or a Kadri today? Has he done any more?
That's a legitimate question, but...
Why would the Philadelphia Flyers trade him?
Because they need help on the blue line. That's why.
So are you suggesting
Toronto can help
or a Gardner?
Correct.
Franson or Gardner? Would be the deal.
I'd probably say more Jake.
Than Cody. Yeah. I could see that happening. Braden Schenn has always had the reputation that he was going to be a top six guy. He's got some bite to his game, which you really like. I really like his bite. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And you like his skill level. He's been better in Philly. Obviously, he's a kid in L.A., better in Philly. Where does he go? What's his upside? Obviously, people thought it was an amazing upside in his draft year.
They really did,
You know. So I wouldn't, I could see that being a legitimate deal for the Leafs.
And Toronto needs...
Because there's nobody else. Nick, you go down every roster.
I know, Mac. I know. And they're not out there.
There's no
they're not out there.
That people
not out there.
That people are prepared to give up.
Yeah.
And they want help on the blue line.
They
Toronto.
Need... They yeah, they still need to shore up. They still need to shore up. They're not... I don't think for a second they're completely happy.
But it's easier to find... If they could make that deal and get the centerman they project to be pretty good and tough and got some bite and a playoff type guy, a Boland. He's a Boland.
More skill.
He's an upgrade on a Boland. And that's saying a lot because Boland brings a lot to the table. But
you project Braden Schenn to put up more numbers than David Boland.
Right.
You certainly do. Yeah.
Now, and it's easier to go out and find a defensive defenseman. If they move Gardner, they could fill that spot with a defensive defenseman that would settle them down defensively. That's the way they probably should go. Because they still need a solid, shutdown, stay-at-home defenseman. That's what they are desperately lacking on the back
end.
So
if it's easier to find that, why haven't they?
Because those are guys that pop out at... You know, guys that are moving on restricted free agency, guys that are veteran guys, that as the season progresses and teams get eliminated, you can grab them.
20 games in now, and what's the old saying, American Thanksgiving, that you have a better understanding of what your team's at or what you lack or what you need. And I have no doubt that talks will heat up now in the next week or two.
Right. And you know what everybody says if you're in the GM? If you're under 500 at Thanksgiving or at the 20-game mark, very few of those teams make the playoffs. If you're under 500 today, very few of those teams make the playoffs. Small, small percentage.
And you've got teams that looks like that they're out of it and maybe willing to make a move before the trade deadline in Florida and Buffalo. Philadelphia, just because they're in that division, I'm not going to write them off yet.
I looked somewhere today. I saw it written.
Edmonton, Calgary.
Ottawa are 500. And they're being projected on those ratings things as a 40% chance of making the playoffs. And they're 500.
Darren Millard, Doug McLean, and Nick Kiprios here on Hockey Central and the Sportsnet Radio Network, presented by Lexus on the Park. Congratulations. You were pounding away at this. Get the kids out of Buffalo. Send them back. Four teenagers, way too much. And what's happened? They've decided that the kids are going back. Grigorenko, down. Ristolainen, down. And Zadorov is back to... the Ontario Hockey League's London Knights.
Great news. But I'm really nervous about Olli Maatta. He played 17-14 last night in Pittsburgh. He's playing a lot there. He's been pretty good there. And that's the guy you'd love to see get back for the Memorial Cup in London.
So are you consulting
piece,
here?
You got a piece of the pie there with the Hunters
you
there?
You got the action?
You got some action on the Memorial Cup?
No, but Ty Domi said I could sit in his private box anytime I want it. And that's like, I mean, what better situation could you have than that to be able to listen to Ty for three periods, plus the drive down and the drive home?
You and Donnie Boyd are still tight, obviously.
He could teach you a few things.
Yes, it would be a yes. great experience.
Yes.
So is this a sign that that the Buffalo Sabres have sort of woken up? And
you know what it is? It's Teddy Nolan saying, I really want to win some games, and we got to turn this around and win, because I mean Teddy's an interim coach. He wants his job, and Teddy, you know, I know he was a great junior coach. I'm not convinced he wants the teenagers there. I mean, they're not dumb. They say, let's get them out of here, let's get them playing more, the kid in London wasn't even dressing. Why would he stay there? Didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You know,
London also picked up Zach Bell, overager who's back from the coast, so that their defense, if they ever got Olli Maatta back.
Yeah.
Well, who knows where it could go? What do you,
nothing.
What do you got this wry look on your face for?
Good. I guess the host can talk longer than 20 seconds.
So. Yes. Yes. But
you guys are misunderstanding the 20 meeting. Second thing with a
no analyst should be talking past 20 seconds. That's the word on the street.
No, but I do think that this is a real plus for Buffalo, that Pat LaFontaine, in the absence of a general manager, is making hockey decisions.
But they've got time now, and I don't get the same sense that Ted Nolan has to win to save his interim and turn it into a permanent thing. I think they have to compete. I think they have to show some passion. I think you have to see that it's a good feeling there. But if they end up with a top five pick in the draft, I don't think it'll be the be-all, end-all for Ted Nolan.
But by the same token, if a new general manager comes in and doesn't want, you know, Ted's not his guy, that's the first problem. And then if he has some success and gets them to play differently and they have some success, and I agree the top five is probably the most important thing, albeit it's not as great a draft as in the past, it helps put pressure on the new GM to keep them. And Pat LaFontaine, I'm sure, would like to see that happen, and that may be part of a new GM.
If you get a real experienced guy, I'd say no. But if you're talking about Jason Botterill, who's a rookie coming in, and now Pat LaFontaine could, and whoever's, you know, from the very top, even to the ownership, he'd be more inclined to listen above him when it came to naming a head coach.
So what GM candidate is going to slide into Pat LaFontaine's office and say, I don't want Teddy Nolan as my coach?
It's a good question.
Because you know that LaFontaine wanted Nolan and brought him in, so you're going to go in there and you're going to feel out Patty where Patty wants
wouldn't
to
you
go.
Wouldn't you think there's a few people out there that might have been in the mix that will say, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that pecking order.
Could be. That pecking order, you don't know how it's all going to work and how Patty's going to set up the whole structure. You don't know.
Doesn't that give you some latitude? You go in, you get settled, you make your personnel decisions, and you let him coach.
Sure, there's nothing wrong with that.
Whenever he stumbles or whatever, then you make the decision.
Yeah, because you're going to get an opportunity eventually to go. If you're the right GM candidate, you're going to get an opportunity to go by Ted, whether it's a year, two, three.
Yeah.
I would, if I was a GM candidate there, I would be saying to Patty LaFontaine, I'm keeping Teddy Nolan as my coach. That's what I'm saying.
Well, because it's safe.
Yeah. And then
it buys you time.
Because it's safe.
And it buys you time to get a feel for where you want to go.
With that group, is there any reason to make a coaching change beyond Ted Nolan right now?
But think about this.
And are you going to fire two guys in the same year?
Let me give you an example. Chuck Fletcher is the same guy as Jason Botterill.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Different. Because Chuck Fletcher got the job in the offseason.
No.
And Jason Botterill's coming in.
No. Season. Okay.
Reputation.
But I mean,
you're talking about reputation.
I mean, assistant GM, relatively inexperienced, and Chuck wanted to bring a guy in that was with him in the Pittsburgh organization, and Todd Richards, and that's who Chuck brought in. So these young guys always have somebody in the back of their mind that they would like to. When you're going in for a GM interview, you typically have somebody in the back of your mind that if I get this job, this is who I want to bring with me. But with Teddy, to me, it's different. I stay with Teddy and, like you say, bide some time.
I don't think a rookie general manager really would have no choice to take the emotion out of Teddy Nolan put a guy cold in.
He's not going to have a choice.
Right?
Did you see the reaction?
He's not going to have a choice.
That would be.
Did you see the reaction last Friday? The signs going to the arena, and then the emotion of the building. With Ted Nolan?
Teddy should stay as a coach.
You can't take him out.
And
put in a relative unproven unknown.
No, you can't.
So, how much?
Not a chance.
Here's what I think works against Jason Botterill is it's mid-season.
Why? What difference?
He's never been the guy in charge, the general manager. He's been assistant general manager.
Yeah.
So going in mid-season, I think that's a much bigger
challenge. And here's where all the owners are now. And it comes back. Okay. Ray Shiro got the job in Pittsburgh. He was the David Poyle young assistant.
David Poyle's going to chat with us in a
couple
minutes.
Yes, he was the young assistant, and it's worked pretty well with Ray. He's got a good reputation in the league. He's done a good job, and that is the model. Chuck then goes to Minnesota. It's the new model now of GMs. Because of why? Because everybody's got this fake president of hockey operations, so the GM now is not the same power as a GM in the past. Unless you're Jimmy Rutherford, unless you're Glenn Sather, unless you're that group. There's too many, you know, so Patty, when you go into a situation where you have the president of hockey operations, I'm sorry, the GM job is not close to what it was in the past.
But it sounds like it's more legitimate, if I can use that term, in Buffalo. Otherwise, Pat LaFontaine would have taken the general manager's job.
Not really. He's still the boss. Don't ever kid yourself. Whether he has the GM's job or not, he's still the boss.
And I totally take Pat, like you, at face value. Mm-hmm. I really do. But until you experience the heat in the kitchen, we're not sure, and I don't even think Pat knows for sure. I know it sounds good and it sounds right, but until you're in the heat of battle and you've lived it, you're not exactly sure how you're going to react moving forward. I know it sounds good, but Mac, maybe you can
talk about,
the accountability ultimately will fall on Pat's shoulders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, but you know, he's also a guy that's been around a long time, knows the game. He might be involved more than he thinks he might be.
There's lots of ex-GMs with lots of experience that don't react very well when it's the heat of the battle, too.
On the Sportsnet Network, it's Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. It happened two nights ago, but there was a goal waved off. The Vancouver Canucks could have pulled into a tie. Instead, they ended up losing the game. The goal was waved off because of alleged goalie interference. Daniel interfering with Netminder, and Henrik had the goal taken away from him. John Tortorella was vicious. He was, and I agree with him. I guess it's justified to be that upset because there really wasn't any contact. And he brought up the coach's challenge again to get it right. There's got to be a way to get these calls right. And Torts cited where they review so many damn things. Okay.
I like Nick's comments last night. I never heard this before, but I thought it was and I was mentioning it to somebody this morning, Don, about it, what you had said. I thought it was a great idea.
Do you remember what you said?
Yes, I do.
I've never heard it before.
I said, we don't need a parade to the timekeeper for reviewable plays in the NHL. So if you want to cut out every goal being reviewed by the NHL office, Toronto, then pick one coaching challenge that you have throughout the game, and it could be in front of the net or it could be a goal. But we're not reviewing goals anymore. Okay, we're not reviewing every goal.
So the only thing that goes to review is the coach's challenge.
Just one coaching challenge.
And I will add to that, Nick, just to make sure.
So if you're right, if you challenge and you're correct, do you get to keep your challenge? Or is it one and done no matter what?
I want to say one and done because, again, I don't want four. I don't want four. If you're right for three, then you could have four. I don't want that.
The only thing I would add to that as something to consider on top of that, because of the crucialness of getting it right, maybe at playoff time, you have one in the first 60 minutes and you have one in overtime. That way you don't have a situation where a coach uses it in the regulation and then there's an unbelievably bad call in overtime that could change a Stanley Cup
winner. Why not have a coach's challenge on plays that are not reviewable right now, like the goalie interference, where they can make a judgment, and you keep it the same? Because at the end of the day, you're trying to get it right. You're trying to make
the
calls.
Get rid of the officials, and let's just have all the cameras in every corner and let them call it from Toronto. Really, if we want to just get it right, let's just get rid of them all together.
But what would Chris, if you do the coach's challenge.
Like my bubble hockey, it'll just come up from the bottom of the ice.
But listen, what would happen, Kinger and Murph and those guys, if we do just the coach's challenge, they would need, they'd need them for the coach's challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
But the referee could go over and look into a big camera at the bench, and then Murph and them are all out of jobs. I don't want to see
that.
Was
the call wrong the other night in Vancouver?
Yeah, it was a wrong call.
Someone should ask Tortorella.
That cost them 2 points.
Last night, Winnipeg was an interference. We're going to look at every night you can say somebody referee caused you a game.
Ask Tortorella whether or not Daryl Sutter would like a coach's challenge in the Stanley Cup final.
I don't have him on the phone right now, but I'll text him.
You remember that one?
No.
Wasn't that the game-winning goal that crossed the line?
in that Stanley Cup final with Calgary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calgary and Tampa.
Absolutely.
Which one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're thinking it was L.A.?
I was trying to think of a controversy
with
the L.A.
Tortorella
Kings.
Tortorella with Tampa Bay versus Calgary.
Right.
That could have...
Well, would have won them Stanley
Cup.
Like,
maybe take the ring off Tortorella's finger.
Today,
would have put it on Darryl's finger.
Winnipeg would be saying today they needed 4 coaching challenges last night in Winnipeg because they're whining about the refereeing today in Winnipeg. It's an uproar about the referees against the Jets, you know?
Yeah, and you're right. There was some controversy there last night. But I'm talking more about plays that result in goal or no goal.
Right.
And that call the other night took away a goal. I'm not talking about a hook in the neutral zone and a coach's challenge there.
Yeah.
But my stick hits Nick and he's on my team and you get a penalty for it.
A 5-man major.
That should be
so challenging. I like Nick's suggestion. I've never heard it before and I think it's got...
Give them one and they can pick it anywhere they
want.
And
that's really fun because then you're really, oh my, should I take it now?
I may need it.
But that doesn't get to the root of the problem of making sure that the calls are.
Yeah, but everything's not going to be always
everything
right.
Everything is exactly okay. Like there's a human element to the players playing. I mean, they make mistakes all the time. I get the fact that we want our officials to be as right as they can, but there's also that human element in the game that we have to live with because it's part of our history. Now all of a sudden. But they can't make one mistake out there. They're human.
But those mistakes are very costly. And what would 2 points do for the Vancouver Canucks? A bonus 2 points.
And go back to the reason the whole thing, why it all started. Lindy Ruff, Brett Hull, you know?
Florida against Vancouver tonight. Sportsnet Pacific, Columbus, Edmonton, Sportsnet West, Ottawa, Philadelphia, and Sportsnet East, and the Islanders, and Toronto, and Sportsnet Ontario, part of 10 on the frozen floor. I have the odds, gentlemen, for winning gold in Olympic men's ice hockey. I will pass those along to you. Plus, David Poile of the Nashville Predators. Where are they in their expectations to the season at the quarter pole? It's Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Network. It's Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean on Hockey Central. I have the odds for Olympic men's ice hockey in Sochi. Men's gold medal, Canada and Russia, even at 11-5. Sweden next 9-2. The Americans are 6-1. Czech Republic 9-1. Then Finland, Switzerland. Switzerland is ahead of Slovakia. And Latvia, Teddy Nolan's Latvians, are 400-1 to win gold medal.
So who's that from?
Bodog.
And they haven't got a...
Have they got anything right?
Who's on the team?
Have they ever got anything right, Bodog?
Hey,
they get the odds, yeah.
I know they're sponsors of McCowan, but do they ever get anything right? Let's, you know, I don't know. We should know what percentage
they're
right.
Should they know who's on the team first before they start handicapping?
I think we know roughly who's going to be on these teams.
Roughly.
Is it going to be the 23rd, 25th player that's going to make a difference?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
As the series goes on, it might be.
Would you agree that the Russians and the Canadians should be co-favorites?
Where's the U.S.? They were in the finals.
They're 6-1.
They were in the finals.
Yeah, but I think they're going through a bit of a changeover.
Are they?
Of generations.
You and Bodog conclude that?
We've talked about that. I don't know why you're being so hard on them. Jimmy sends this stuff to me. He's good.
Who's Jimmy? Jimmy the Greek?
No, it's not. You guys are idiots. Are you on remote control again?
Cruise control.
No, you said
I've been on it for a few years.
The other night you said cruise. I'm on remote control tonight,
and I'm looking around, going, "Where?
Oh
is
no,
it?
You're the last guy.
Where is it?
Hey, just a minute.
Does he want to change the channel?
You're
Why
the last
is he
guy.
Remote control.
You're the last guy about Sanes. Mixed up Sanes.
I was good early Friday, and then I tailed off.
No, you were bad Friday, and you were out of it last night.
Yes.
So I don't know what's going to happen tonight when we have the Toronto Maple Leafs and New York Islanders, Sportsnet Ontario. Ottawa draws Philadelphia. This is a scary game for Ottawa with Philadelphia
out of it last night. I hit the nail on the head in the pregame show and everything. Camilleri, Stajan. I mean, I was hitting it out of the park in the pregame show. Berra.
We weren't sure if you were happy he was starting.
Yeah.
Or were criticizing upset that Bob he was Hartley. Starting.
I was a little confused. And was he too loose in the net?
And that
he needs to be quiet.
The game started slow, but it turned into a real fun game to watch last night.
Winnipeg and Calgary went to a
shootout. Fortunately, it was after we went off the air. After the second intermission, it became fun.
Yeah, the Jets. The Jets, I guess, saved a point, but then lost it in a shootout.
Losing that
long shootout.
Losing that point at home to Calgary.
Not good.
Not good.
A team that had lost six in a row.
Not good. Shootout, non-shootout, overtime, regulation, losing that point was devastating.
How does Hartley wait to what the eighth shooter to go to Sean Monahan?
I know. Well, did you see when Evander Kane shot? I think he was seventh.
Did you see his shot?
Yeah, and I think he's only scored once.
And I'll tell you why. I thought Matt Stajan played a hell of a game.
Oh, no. And what about Berkey's guy, Colburn, on the shootout? Mm-hmm. What a move that was.
You're
amazing,
right.
Amazing move.
Stajan with a close second would have been Camilleri for me. But, yeah, Stajan played one of the better games that we've seen.
And Camilleri's setting himself up to be a hot commodity at the trade deadline.
David Poile should pick up Camilleri for the stretch dive.
Are you getting advice here?
Yeah, just
okay,
help.
Okay, well, David joins us. You can suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
Will you suggest it? He's not here yet.
Sure, I'll suggest. Oh, I was thinking he was on hold and he would have, picked up a gem there.
Do you think I would let you guys just ramble while a guest was on hold?
That's what they do when Brady and whatever his name is in the morning, Walker.
That's their show.
Yeah, you stay on hold for 10 minutes.
Have you ever hung up?
Then you fall asleep. No, I'm going to next time. I'm going to just,
You know what?
And it's tomorrow morning I'm on with them.
I don't think you would do it.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
I honestly think when it comes to that kind of thing, you're a little bit all talk.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
More talk than action.
Okay. And you really want the $40 they pay you?
No, they don't pay me anything. If it was $40, I'd stay on the line.
I'll play it if you do it.
No,
on the show.
Where's David?
No, he's on the phone trying to make a deal for Camilleri. He was listening to the show, and he jumped on with Calgary.
Here's David Poile.
He's on with his assistant GM, Brian Burke.
Nashville Predators general manager, executive vice president of hockey operations.
Thank goodness you're on, David. I can't listen to Mac anymore.
The Bodog just put out the Olympic odds, David. Canada, Russia are co-favorites at 11-5. Sweden's next 9-2. And the Americans, your Americans, are 6-1.
And
you okay with that? At fourth.
I'm good with that. I think that means we have a chance, and we certainly feel that we do. I mean, the way I look at it is we're going there to win this time. 2010 was a great experience and came within a goal of doing it. I'm pretty bullish on our team, but it's going to be a great tournament. I mean, you got all good teams, but clearly you got four teams that certainly have a chance to win it. So let's see what happens.
I think you'd be more concerned about what Bo Dog is saying about Nashville Predators' chances of making the playoffs.
That's absolutely correct here. It's the year has not been perfect for us so far. We've been thrown a couple of curveballs. The greatest has been losing Pekka Rinne for a period of time, and I know other teams have different injuries or what have you, but obviously he's been one that's been hard for us to get over. We had our young goalie Masnik played the other night against Chicago, and that was a good game for him and for us, and he's going to get another chance tonight in Detroit. But
David, can you give us an update on Pekka and where he is?
Again, quickly on the background, I mean, he had hip surgery at the end of last season. Everything went well. Training camp in the beginning of the season, he felt perfect, and his game was really good, all that. And after a game in Minnesota about a month ago now, he just we got home after the game. He just complained of some pain. Brought him in the next day. He went to the doctor right away, and they did a scope on his hip, which put him out for a month. But at that point, they detected an infection. 5 months after the operation, no idea where that came from. And so now they're treating the infection, and it's just a matter of time. And again, your guess is as good as mine right now. The doctor is probably going to do another MRI at the end of November, you know, looking for, you know, I guess, resolution, you know, in his hip area, less inflammation, if you will, and then we go from there. But the big wild card in this whole thing is the infection and, you know, how long it takes to get it out of his hip so that it never, ever comes back again.
David, you talk about injuries. It's one thing to lose key players, but losing the number one goalie and one of the better ones in the league is pretty devastating. Just fill us in on the kid that played against Chicago, background, and it looks like he had a terrific record in Milwaukee at 5-0 and great numbers there.
Well, the good news is we've got two really good young goalies in Milwaukee, and, you know, that was our plan. It's flawed now because of Becca getting hurt, but we have Hellberg as a Swedish goalie. It was a second pick a couple of years ago, and this Masnik, who was a late round pick that we think we got a little lucky on. He actually was a goalie for the Czech team that won the national championship this year. Both these guys are big guys, like Becca, 6'4", 6'5", and our goaltender coach Mitch Korn really believes in them and, you know, has been working with them. But the plan was for them to be in Milwaukee for the next couple of years. I mean, we've got, you know, Pekka signed to a, you know, 7-year contract, and you know, he was going to play the bulk of our games. So it looks like the real deal. But again, as you know, it takes some time. Whether you want to say the adjustment to pro hockey, the angles, the topic in front of the net, all those different things that he's kind of learning on the fly right now. And, you know, and if all things are equal, let's get Pekka back and you know, get our young guys playing down in Milwaukee.
Hockey Central chatting with David Poile of the Nashville Predators on the Sportsnet Radio Network with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean.
David, are you caught here a little bit between the unknown and having maybe the thought to get some experience to kind of plug the hole while you wait for Pekka? Is it the salary cap? Is it just it is what it is? Can you go out and get a goalie and shore this thing up in the meantime?
Well, your question is the one I'm getting a lot of, and the way you categorize it's about, you're about right. I mean, are we betting on Pekka coming back in the short term? If he is, let's buck the dike and we'll make it through the next couple of weeks. A longer situation, I mean, you know, we better, you know, find a goaltender. So, I mean, and as you say, speak or what have you, I mean, I'm knocking on doors, I'm talking to teams, I know who's available. I also am aware of the financial ramifications and the price. And I think I'm a little in a tough situation here because everybody knows that Peck is, you know, I need a goaltender, so I'm certainly not going to get anything for nothing.
David, really enjoyed your game in Colorado recently, getting the chance to see Seth Jones go back to Colorado. What a story he's been. And, I mean, for you guys to get him in the four spot and playing over 24 minutes a game, he's quite a story.
It is quite a story. Again, obviously, we all know how good the draft was last year, but our needs were forward. We thought the way the draft was going to break, that we were going to get a forward, but lo and behold, it went in a different direction. And, you know, I guess, you know, sometimes you're in the right spot at the right time and get a little bit lucky. And, you know, for sure, Seth Jones is, he's already a top player. I mean, you know, what do you want in a player? He's 6'4" and growing. His skating is unbelievable. His escapability for a defenseman is great. His hockey sense is right there. He's a right-handed shot at playing the left side, which not a lot of guys can do. So, I mean, as I said, you know, going way back to when I first started, I was lucky enough to have Scott Stevens play in Washington.
You had Nick too, David, don't forget. You had Nick there as well.
I'm going to get to that.
Don't laugh too hard, David. Okay, just one chuckle or two at the most, please.
I was there too. If you really want to laugh.
You know, one thing that criticism, David, was at the Memorial Cup anyway, when we were sizing these players up, was people wanted to see more bite out of Seth Jones. Do you need that from him? And you mentioned Scott Stevens.
Well, I understand that, and again, that's why it's really difficult, as we know, when we have an 18-year-old draft, and we all look back a few years later, and we think, "What was thinking about here?" Or, you know, so you know, it's a big projection their managers, scouts, and what have you. What I really find interesting is how Seth answers that question. Is that basically when he's asked about his aggressiveness or what have you, which I don't see it's a problem at all, to be honest. I mean, I think he's aggressive enough, but he says it worked pretty good for Nick Lidstrom for 20 years. So, I mean, you know, he's very, I don't think he's cocky or arrogant by saying that, but he's very sure of himself. I mean, again, everybody makes mistakes. He's made mistakes, but he doesn't dwell on it. He doesn't have bad body language. He's really a focused young man. He acts way older than his age. He just carries himself really well. So, you know, we got a real special player in Seth Jones. I mean, he's going to be a big factor in the National Hockey League, hopefully for the Predators, for a lot of years.
We had the Calgary game last night, and Monahan in Calgary is similar, a great young player, but there seems to be maybe a little bit of a lull in his game. David, when you think about Seth Jones and Monahan, for that matter, and what they've gone through since basically June with the draft, the rookie camps, the rookie scrimmages, main camp, exhibition, it's not hard to believe that there would be a little bit of a mental letdown. How do you protect that if you start seeing it with Seth? I mean, he's playing 24 minutes a night.
Yeah, that's that's something I guess in some ways we actually thought it would be a slower transition. In other words, we would probably play him in the third pairing and, you know, get, you know, less minutes, and maybe the first 20 games would be a learning experience, and then he would take off from there. But with Josi getting hurt and getting paired right away with Weber, it was the exact opposite. But I agree with you, and I'm not sure exactly how to handle it. But, you know, he's just blessed because he doesn't seem to get tired. I mean, you know, he can play these big minutes. I actually think, you know, some days, like a Ryan Suter, he's going to be playing 30 minutes a game. He just, one of those guys, maybe genetically, he just goes to the bench and he just needs to catch his breath, and you can put him back right back out there. But I get your point, Nick, that it's, you know, it's a long season, and the NHL is a grind. We saw that on this long road trip we just came off of, where our team played poorly in the last three or four games, and, you know, he was part of the, he didn't play as well as he had played earlier too. So, you know, we got to be careful on that for sure.
David, I was thinking Suter when you were talking about, you know, the style of game he plays, and is he a Suter type guy? But more, I guess, you know, that's to be seen. But does he have a chance to compete for the Olympic team?
Yeah, he absolutely does. Again, as you know, I'm doing this with a committee of GMs, and we're watching games and doing reports. And, you know, I'd say in our defense that we're going to take eight defensemen. We're down to approximately 12, and he's one of them. You know, like I said, I mean, I might be getting a little prejudiced because I get to see him every night, but I have other guys seeing him. And, you know, what are you looking for in a defenseman? I mean, the size, the skating, penalty killing, power play, success on the big ice surface, winning the gold medal in the World's Junior.
Composure.
All you can say against Seth Jones right now is that he's 19 years old and he doesn't have the experience. Other than that, how does he compare to these other players? And, you know, to me, that's how we have to make the judgment. It's probably no different. Talk about somebody else's player, like Galchenyuk with Montreal. I mean, he's in his second year. He's only 19 years old, but he's a really, really good player. We're not averse to, you know, choosing him over more veteran players if he's the best player.
Hey, David, when we were all in Washington together, was it you or Trotsky or even Robbie Laird that told Mac back then, you're wasting your time in this coaching thing, you should get into television? Was that you?
It was Poyle.
Well, it was, to me,
it was Jack Button.
I always felt that way. There was, I never seen a coach's room that had so many mirrors in it.
Oh, no. Hey, and you used to have a glance in it yourself once in a while.
Seeing who was coming up behind it.
My hair, and I'm not going there.
David, always fun having some laughs with you, and thanks for the info.
Best of luck, David.
Thanks for not going there, Doug.
Yes.
You
caught
know
yourself, eh?
Why do you always open up a can of worms?
You caught yourself.
They're in last place in the Central. If they're in the Metropolitan, they'd be in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, they might find a way.
Busy night around Sportsnet. Hockey Central, 6:30.